All right, celebrity worship is nothing new. It's been going on for ages now. But now we're seeing a massive influx of the so-called celebrities getting saved, born again, or saying they're giving their heart to Christ. On one hand, we should be celebrating this. But today, I want to talk about when this becomes a dangerous precedent that can lead many people astray and even cause many to miss the coming of the Lord. Let's talk about that today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everybody? It is Monday, December the 11th. I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. Again, this is End Time Headlines. I am your host, founder, and pastor, Ricky Scapero. And again, we want to welcome all of our audience today that are be watching, that are listening, either by video platforms or by app or by Spotify. Listen, if you're new, do me a favor. Let me know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. Before we get started tonight, again, be sure to hit that like button, hit that push notification, and even hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with every podcast and everything that we put out. And even better, don't forget to download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Again, it's absolutely free. It's for your convenience. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to not miss any headline and any podcast, and it'll be right at your fingertips. So tonight, guys, I want to start by reading. This was a piece that was written by Michael Snyder, and we're just going to go off of this, and I'm going to talk about some stuff that I think is going to be very interesting to talk about and why we need to really be paying attention. All right, this was an article that he published a few days ago. Why are so many celebrities suddenly becoming Christians? Why are so many celebrities suddenly becoming Christians? Has anyone else noticed this lately? There's this like huge influx of all these celebrities, Kat Von D, and we're going to go over all these. Not every one of them, but a lot of these newer ones. We're going to talk about that today. So let's get into this piece. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to give you some scriptures. We're going to talk about it today. So this is what we're going to talk about. Again, be sure to invite people into the broadcast, people that you think that would be interested in this topic. We would love for you guys to invite them into this conversation. In recent months, a number of high-profile individuals have made headlines by deciding to give their lives to Christ. So exactly what in the world is going on here? Is this the beginning of a new trend? Quote, ultimately, I believe that these high-profile conversions to Christianity are just a very small portion of a much larger picture. All over the world, the great battle between good and evil that has been raging for thousands of years is reaching a grand crescendo, and people are feeling compelled to pick a side. So Michael Snyder is leaning on a hopeful analogy of this, a hopeful interpretation of this. And this is good. This is what, again, we should all be celebrating people that are born again. The Bible says that all of heaven, even in the presence of angels, there's angels in the presence of heaven rejoicing over one sinner that gives their heart to Christ. So we should not, look down on this or despise this, but let's go on here. We live in a day and age when it is becoming increasingly difficult to stay on the fence. Darkness is rapidly growing all around us, and those that do not want to be a part of that darkness are reaching out for the light. This week, here we go. Daddy Yankee, never heard of this guy before ever until this past week, but nevertheless, apparently he's huge. I didn't know this, but Daddy Yankee absolutely shocked millions of his fans when he announced that he will be devoting his life to Jesus from this point forward.
He announces that he's devoting his life to Jesus Christ. The reggaeton star made the announcement during his last concert of his farewell tour, La Meta, in Puerto Rico over the weekend. A Daddy Yankee posted the speech on his Instagram page. The 46-year-old said that he's been trying to fill a void in his life and that those days are over thanks to Jesus. He also says that he will now use his platform for God's kingdom. Singer will also now go by his birth name, Ramon Ayala.
The 46 years of age singer made the announcement in a lengthy speech following a larger-than-life performance of his global hit Gasolina, a song that marked the beginning of the globalization of reggaeton and encapsulated him into the mainstream success back in 2004. Quote, "My people, this day for me is the most important day of my life, and I want to share it with you because living a life of success is not the same as living a life with purpose." The artist, who also popularized the 2017 mega hit Despacito, again, never heard of this song, with Luis Fonsi, I hope I pronounced it right, said in Spanish, "You may not be familiar with Daddy Yankee, but he is a really big deal in the Spanish-speaking world. In the Spanish-speaking music world, this qualifies as a bombshell. For context, Daddy Yankee has 48.9 million followers on the popular social media platform Instagram. The music superstar used that platform to post a clip of his live, heartfelt message to fans, which the post has already generated more than 1.7 million likes as of Tuesday morning. During his final show, Daddy Yankee stood up and quoted the words of Christ to explain his decision. He quoted Mark 8:36, "What good will it be for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul?" Quote, "That is why tonight I recognize and I am not ashamed to tell the whole world that Jesus lives in me and that I will live for him." Now again, this follows the recent announcement made by Kat Von D, who also is claiming that she has now devoted her life to Christ. She recently renounced witchcraft and New Age practices. She recently videoed her her baptismal service, but was viciously attacked from many directions for making this decision. But, and many of you guys remember me talking about this, we discussed her journey on one of our segments, and we got attacked for it. And I said this, and I want to say this again. she was a perfect example of fruit takes time to produce. And there's a seed planted. Now we have to give it time to produce fruit. And we'll see how this, now her response is very different. How her lifestyle has been since this and what she has said publicly is completely different than another artist who we're going to bring up today. And even this Daddy Yankee who made this statement. All these conversions, we have to use discernment. We're going to get into scripture in just a second. And we have to observe fruit as believers. If someone names himself a believer, a brother or a sister in Christ, a Christian, according to 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says it is our obligation and it is our duty that we are to observe that fruit. Now, again, we're not talking about the world. If somebody's in the world, they're not born again, they're not serving Christ, they've not given their heart to the Lord, then we as believers, we don't have the jurisdiction or the authority to judge them because they are, what Paul said, outsiders. They are not born again believers. But he said, First Corinthians 5, "But those who are on the inside serving the Lord, these we are to judge them." We are to observe the fruit to see if it's bearing fruit. Because again, and all this is going to play in, guys, in today's podcast. So you got to stay with me here. I'm going somewhere with this. All right. Another example is Jidan, who completely shocked his followers when he deleted almost all of his prank videos. Again, here's another individual. I did not know who it was, so I had to do some research. Jidan is one of the most famous streamers and content creators on the internet. Don't know how, I don't know who this is, but obviously you could tell, guys, I don't get on YouTube and look for all this stuff. And I just don't. I'm not one of them people. I don't get on TikTok. I don't do that stuff. So I don't know who this is. He gained a massive following for his many prank videos, one of which he got banned completely from all NBA related events. Earlier this year, on the 22nd of September, Jidan decided to make a change and declared to his audience, quote, "I'm turning my life to Christ."
Trying to turn to God, yo. I'm not trying to put like my pinky toe in no more. I'm not going to just be sitting on the edge of the pool. I want to jump full in. I want to dive all in, chat. So that's all I'm going to say. But you know, I don't want to just talk the talk. I want you guys to, like, see it in my actions. You feel me? I was with my girl. We were Ubering back from her college. And then right when we got back to the crib, the Uber driver, she looked back at us and she asked us a question. Me answering it made my heart sunk. But she said, if you guys were to die right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? I had to be honest with myself. I had to look into myself and I was like, the way I'm living right now, if God was to take my breath away right now, I'm going to hell. I couldn't even lie about it, chat. You feel me? Like, and you know what's crazy, chat? I be letting so many worldly things dictate how my day's gonna go. You feel me? You got people out here that are battling cancer, having horrible, like, you know, being victims of horrible crimes and all kinds of stuff, right? And they still have the ability to put a smile on their face and be genuinely happy. I get a strike on my channel and I'm not able to post for a week. I'm over here in the slumps. You would have thought my dog died, chat, the way I was around here acting when I was gone for that week, bro. Just pouting, being moody, being rude to people. The only reason why I was acting like that is because I'm letting worldly things dictate how my spirit is. And, like, you know, the Bible talks about it all the time. You know, you can't be moved by the world. You have to hate the world. Chat, like, it's crazy. Like, Jesus is telling me that I have to hate the world, but the world loves me. You feel me? And that's like a honest predicament that I thought I was in, but really it's an easy solution, bro. Like, if I'm gonna follow the spirit, I'm not gonna have a problem putting away worldly things. And I just had to, like, look at myself, chat, and I had to just think, if I do follow Jesus, if I do follow his word to tooth and nail of what it is front to back, then I'm not gonna be Gideon anymore.
His fans were concerned that he would stop making content. Their worst fears have been realized, and then some. Gideon has deleted nearly all of his content from his multiple YouTube channels. Now, guys, that is fruit. That's bearing fruit right there. He's showing fruit. He's showing John the Baptist when he looked at the religious people. He looked at the Pharisees and the Sadducees when he was baptizing at the Jordan. And he said, who warned you of the coming wrath? Or who warned you of the wrath to come? And he looked at them and he said, repent and bear fruits worthy of repentance. So the fact that this guy, listen to me, made who knows how much money he made. I'm sure it made a lot of money off of these videos. When he got converted to Christ or gave his heart to Christ, the first thing he did was go and delete all of his videos. Now, why did he do that? Because there was a real true conversion here. In case you're not getting the drift of where I'm going today, guys, this is the content. This is the center of what we're going to be talking about today. But I'm going to talk about, we're going to talk about all these celebrities giving their heart to the Lord. But I'm going to talk about where we need to observe those who are bearing fruit worthy of repentance and those who are leading people astray. That's what we're talking about today. So if you haven't caught that drift yet, I just wanted to inform you that's what we're talking about today. And now you say, why are we talking about this? Who cares about these celebrities, Brother Ricky? I don't really care. Well, listen, you should care because these celebrities may do nothing for you. You may not know them. They don't influence you. They don't do anything. But these people are influencing millions, hundreds of millions, even billions of people on the planet. And some of them can include your kids, your grandchildren, your neighbors, people in your church, hello, and so on. So that's why you need to know as a believer, our responsibility as believers, and we're not to just sit by, keep our hands folded, keep our mouth shut, and not do anything and not be proactive, okay? And it's crazy because when you start talking about this, you're going to get this camp of people over here saying, we should never judge and we should, you know, it's not our place to judge and judge not lest we be judged. And then you get the people over here that are on the other extreme where they don't believe any conversion, any salvation, any testimony, any encounter with God. They believe they're all fake. They're all phonies. They're all wolves. So today we're bringing balance because I want to teach you from the Word of God, not my opinion, the Word of God on how to properly discern and recognize fruits that are being bore or fruits bearing worthy of repentance, okay? And again, the reason why this is important, because you got an individual like Taylor Swift who is worshipped like a god, little g. In fact, she became the person of the year by Time magazine.
Taylor Swift is officially a billionaire.
Really?
Yes.
How'd I do that?
On Thursday, Bloomberg, a financial news organization, shared an article declaring the Shake It Off singer has joined the likes of fellow billionaire artists like Rihanna and Jay-Z.
It's just unbelievable.
Well, it is the era of Taylor Swift. It feels like it. The superstar's influence has reached new heights, earning her the title of Time's Person of the Year. As the magazine says, she became the main character of the world and perfected her craft as the master storyteller of the modern era. So
this is an individual who has been accused of performing performances up on stage in invoking witchcraft and new age practices. But yet, and you've got people that are showing up at her concert that have no recollection of what happened. It's like they black out. They don't remember anything. They lose thought. They lose memory. Guys, that's not normal.
Some fans are claiming they have post-concert amnesia, saying they're having trouble remembering any of it all too well. Well, it's a story we first saw in Time, and Stephanie Ramos has more. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello. Hi, good morning, Rebecca. Post-concert amnesia apparently is a thing. Some Taylor Swift fans are saying they had such an incredible time at her Eras concert, they can't remember parts of it. And scientists say it stems from sensory overload.
There's a haze Taylor Swift fans are feeling as the pop superstar travels across the country on her sold-out Eras tour.
The concert overall exceeded every expectation that you could have imagined to have. It's just overwhelming in the best way.
Swifties posting on social media, the experience was so spectacular, they have shaken off some memories of the show, calling it post-concert amnesia.
As I keep saying this happened to me, apparently it's universal.
It's actually a neurologic phenomenon that can happen in any heightened emotional state. Is Taylor Swift fans are going to this concert. There's so much to be excited about. There's so much stimuli to process for the brain. And that can actually get in the way of forming and storing memories of that concert experience.
That's demonic. But yet you've got many of you who are called yourselves Christians or believers, and you have no problem with this. You listen to her. You pay. You spend money on going to these concerts. You listen to her music. It's on your playlist. Your kids are listening. You have no problem with this. Your grandkids are listening. You have no problem with this. Now, Taylor Swift is not saying that she's a Christian. You know, that's one thing that we can say about Taylor Swift. At least she's who she is. She's not portraying to be, quote unquote, a Christian artist, while in fruit, she's really not, or in practice, she's really not. Okay, so that's one thing we can say about Taylor Swift. Now, I want to go to the Word of God. We're going to go to, this is going to be 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Here's what it says. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Somebody say, test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Christ Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now, guys, that's a lot to chew on, so we got to break this down. Okay, first of all, John tells us here that not every spirit out there is of God. And as believers, remember, he's writing to us, beloved. He's writing to us as believers. And he's saying, don't believe every spirit. You've got to test the spirits, whether they're of God and whether they're not. And one of the main ways that you can test is if the spirit is of God and it's not, if it confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and was made manifest among us as the Messiah and the Son of God, that's a good start. That's not where we stop, but that's a good start. But if what comes out of their mouth, If they say that Jesus is not the Son of God, he is not the Messiah, and he did not come in the flesh, then John says they are operating from a spirit of Antichrist. They're operating from a spirit of Antichrist. And he tells us there is coming the Antichrist. He's not here yet, but he's coming. He'll be revealed. 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about this. Revelation 13 talks about this. But he said it is already at work in the world, which is not talking about the Antichrist in the flesh, but he's talking about in his day, the spirit of Antichrist was already in the works. It was already working in the earth, and it was being made manifest even in the church. All right, so again, this is a start. But in other words, what John, don't miss this, what John is saying to us as the church is that, guys, we can't accept, just because somebody gets up on a platform, gets up on stage, gets up on a YouTube video, gets up on Instagram, gets up in a concert, whatever the case, and they get up and they say, I'm now a Christian. I'm now a believer. I'm now born again. I've given my heart to God. I've given my heart to Christ. I got baptized in water, whatever. Now I'm a follower of Christ. Okay, we applaud them. That's good. That's great. But then once they have professed, listen to me, once they have named themselves a brother or a sister, aka a Christian, let me go back to this, 1 Corinthians 5. Let's go to Paul's letter. Paul's letter to the church of Corinth dealing with sexual immorality in the church among professed believers. We get to 1 Corinthians 5:9. Paul tells us, he says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of the world or with covetous, extortioners, idolaters. Since then, you would need to be basically removed from the planet. You would have to go out of the world. Verse 11, but now I've written to you, do not keep company. Do not be yoked with, don't fellowship with them. Don't be hanging out with them. Don't be associating with them. Hello? With anyone. Look, what does it say here in your Bible? Named a brother or a sister who is, somebody say who is, or who is practicing sexual, who is sexually immoral, who is covetous, who is an idolater, who is a reviler, a drunkard, an extortioner. Look what he says here. Don't even eat with such a person. Time out. Now I can hear this camp over here. Oh, now, Brother Ricky, we're not to judge. It's not our place to judge. Judge not. Jesus said we're not to judge. We're supposed to do this, this, that. Okay, well, let's read on here. Verse 12. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? That would be Taylor Swift. Come on, make it simple today. Taylor Swift does not claim to be a Christian. She's never professed Christianity. She's never said she's had an encounter with God. She's given her life to Christ. She never got water baptized, at least to my knowledge. She's not bearing the name of Christ or as a Christian. So she would be one who Paul is saying who is on the outside. Paul says, what about to do with judging them? Now look what he says. Do you not judge those who are inside? Now he's talking to us as believers, and he's saying to us, those who bear the name of Christianity, saying they're Christians or born again, he says, are you not to be judging them? Saying they already know that they should be judging them. They should be observing the fruit. But those, look at this, but those who are outside, God judges. Listen, Taylor Swift has now become the first, what, music artist to become a billionaire, crossed over into this, at least to my knowledge. And she falls into the category of gaining the whole world. Yet if she, listen to me, if she does not get saved, born again, give her heart to Christ, and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, she will have garnished the whole world, gained the whole world, gained the popularity, get all the riches, get all the fame, get the influence. She'll have all that the world has to offer her. But in the end, my friend, she'll stand before God, and the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment, and thus she will gain the whole world, yet she will lose her soul. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, what are we supposed to do about those on the outside? You pray for them. You sow the seed of the word of God to them, the gospel. You keep sowing and watering. Watering is praying for them. Sowing and watering. Sowing and watering. And then in time, you keep believing that when there's sowing and there's watering, God will give the increase, which is, come on, their conversion and their salvation. Most everybody here, unless you were raised in church your whole life, and you're just one of them, listen, I can't relate to this, but there's a lot of people that I know that, I mean, they were raised in a Christian home. They were born again at a very, I'm talking about 5 years old, 4 years old, 6 years old. And they've been serving God their whole life. They've never went into the world. They've never partaken of the world. They've never done all these things. And they just lived that life. And that's awesome. We're not discrediting it at all. But I believe, I'm venture to say that most people listening to our podcast or watching are like me and have my testimony where I served the devil for 23 years. I had what he had to offer. I had the fleshly indulgence. I had the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I had all of the things that Satan offered. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then, so when I was on the outside, my family and I had I had a remnant of friends, and really it's one friend. I had one friend and family members that understood that the only thing they could do was water the seed and keep sowing, watering and sowing. And eventually, when the fullness of time had come for my conversion, from the seed and the watering and the seeding and the watering, to God be the glory, on June 2nd, 2000, is when I received Jesus Christ. Therefore, when I said yes to him, got born again, entered into a covenant with Christ, became born again, now I'm no longer on the outside, but have now transitioned from the outside to the inside. Oh, watch where I'm going today, church. So then once I became a believer and a professed Christian, all of the people that I was yoked with, had a relationship, hung out with, partied with, that knew me and had a relationship with, they all are now looking from the outside in, and they're observing my life to see what kind of fruit I'm producing. Was my repentance bearing fruit worthy of repentance? Did I say yes to Christ, but I said no to the sacrifice and to the obedience that it would require of me to follow him? Because the last time I checked, Jesus said, if any man desires to follow after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. So all my friends and family and people who knew me when I was on the outside knew that I was really, truly born again, because I began to do things that didn't make any sense to them. I went to a guy who, but when I was on the outside and was not born again, who I cheated out of a lot of money. I ripped him off. I didn't have no remorse for it. But when I got born again, come on, and the Holy Spirit came on the inside and started living on the inside of me, I wanted to make it right with him. So he didn't even know anything about it. He didn't even know I did it to him. But I came to him. Now, I put my neck on the line because we could have gotten to a fight. He could have tried to physically harm me, whatever the case would be. But I had to do the right thing. So I went to him in private. I confessed my transgression against him. I confessed what I did to him. And not only did I confess what I did to him, but I made it right. And I said, here is the money that I ripped you off on, this ticket that I kept from you that you should have went, but I stole your ticket and gave it to somebody else. Here's the money that I paid for the ticket, but here's double what I stole from you, and I wanted to make it right with him. And he said, well, Brother Ricky, how did he respond to you? Well, at first he got offended, but then he accepted my apology, and he thanked me. And later on, he said, man, I know that whatever you had, that encounter you said you had with God, I know that it's real because I can see it on you. I can see it in you. Come on, somebody. This is real talk here today. I'm talking about fruits worthy of repentance. I went around the friend for a short time. I got around the friends I used to hang around with. And when they began to pass the weed around and the joints around, I no longer had a desire for it. I didn't want it anymore. And they didn't understand that. Many people accepted that. Other people got offended by that. They didn't know. They didn't understand why. And as time went on, they changed their tune because they all said, well, this is just a fad that he's going through, but he'll be back soon enough. But again, you've heard me say this before. Come on. It's been 23 years and the fad has not wore off. Why? Because I truly got born again. Does that mean that Brother Ricky doesn't slip up? No. Does that mean did I never fail? No. Does that mean I don't have any weaknesses and shortcomings and that I've never fallen into the sin into any sin since I've been saved? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying today. But what I'm saying is, listen, we should be rejoicing. We should be celebrating the conversion of anybody, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, your families, celebrities, musicians, whatever the case may be. We should all be celebrating them. But once they bear the name of Christ, claiming that they're Christians, we as believers have an obligation, according to the Word of God, we are to observe their fruit. And listen to me, if they're not bearing fruits worthy of repentance, and I'm not talking, and guys, for the love of God, I'm not talking about the day after they got saved. Come on, there is still a sanctification process. And listen, I'm 23 years into this thing, and I'm still not fully sanctified. Come on, can I get a witness? Some of y'all think you're so holy and sanctified, and your halo is so huge on your head that you can't walk through doorways. Listen, let me take you into some traffic in Atlanta and we'll see how sanctified you are. Oh, I'm gonna preach it today. I'm trying to tell you sanctification is a process, but I'm also telling you that now let me get into what I'm talking about here. When we go, since we're on this thing, let me pull up this article, okay? Because some of y'all still, I think you're still like, well, okay, well, let's get into this. Okay, let's get into this. How about Lil Nas X? Here's another celebrity, another musician that claims that they're now Christian and that they're going to make Christian music now. Let's read a little bit about this. Famous rapper Lil Nas X, who drew the ire of Christians in 2021 by creating Satan shoes. Remember that? This is the guy that created Satan shoes. He was walking hand in hand with Satan and had no remorse about it. No shame. Created a line of shoes called Satan shoes. In fact, let's pull that up. Again, this was back in 2021. Here's the headline: Dangerous and Evil. Christian leaders react to rapper Lil Nas X's Satan shoes. Here's the picture of it. You can see it on your screen. There's the shoe he had created with the satanic symbol on the shoe. And of course, Nike, with the Nike logo on it.
21-year-old rapper Lil Nas X timed the release of his newest video with the launch of a pair of sneakers, and both have made headlines. The 3-minute, 10-second music video for Montero, Call Me By Your Name, shows the rapper in a fantasy world, tempted by a serpent, then banished to hell. Blood sneakers, Lil Nas X's collaboration with art collective Mischief, were released the same day as the video. The 666 pair of sneakers are black with red trim and feature gold pentagrams, inverted crosses, as well as human blood inside the sole. The shoes, which are modified Nikes, sparked a trademark infringement lawsuit from the sneaker giant. Nike has asked Mischief to permanently stop fulfilling orders of the unauthorized shoe, and a court issued a temporary restraining order barring Mischief from distributing the sneakers that were already sold.
Okay, so this guy made headlines again recently when he recently announced that he is entering, now listen to this verbiage here, he's entering the Christian era. Now again, by definition, an era, E-R-A, is a long and distinct period of history with a particular feature or characteristics, or it marks the end of one era and the beginning of another era. So Mr. Lil Nas X says that now he's entering the Christian era of his music career. Now look at this. I want to highlight this to you. But even though he's now entering the Christian era, it will not impact his sexuality. Now, what does that mean? Well, Lil Nas X is an open homosexual. He practices homosexuality. And he's now come out and says, hey, guys, I'm entering to the Christian era. I'm going to make Christian music. But I'm not going to change. I have no desire to change my lifestyle. I'm still going to practice what God calls an abomination. Oh, let me ruffle the feathers of you lukewarm, passive, progressive Christians out there that will celebrate that and have no problem with that because you don't know the Bible. So let me help you out and let me get you some Bible reading in. Let's see what the Word of God says about that lifestyle. Here's what Paul said to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's what it says, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? I want to highlight this. Do not be deceived. Remember what John said? Test the spirits. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. Do not be deceived. Neither shall fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. They will, I don't know how much plain I can make that. How much plain can the Apostle Paul make that, who wrote that? They who practice these lifestyles will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care if they call themselves a Christian. I don't care if they've got a massive influence. I don't care if they have 20 million followers on Instagram. I don't care if they've got a best-selling album. I don't care if they're the Rap Artist of the Year. They're the BET Music Award winner. They're the Grammy Award winner. They've made great movies. They're a superstar. They have all this influence. They make so much money. I don't care. The Bible says, not me, the Word of God says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, why is this important? Because this guy is saying that he announced to the world that he's entering the Christian era of his music career. He's going to make Christian music. Why not, after all? Christian music now consists of transgenders. One of them called Flamey Grant, who made it all the way up to the top charts of a Christian music genre and called himself a Christian. So why not? Why, if there's money to be made, you think these people are not going to jump on board with it? But here's the sad part, friend. How many Christians will fall for this hook, line, and sinker? Oh, let me go back to this crowd over here. Well, Brother Ricky, we're not to judge. Who are we to judge? They love you. We should be jumping on board and celebrating this. Again, out of his own mouth. Let me just read this. A 24-year-old gay rapper known for his hit song Old Town Road took to the social media in late November to share a video clip teasing a new song in which he addresses God as Father. Okay, which God is he talking about here? He captioned the teaser video, "Y'all mind if I enter my Christian era?" The artist shared a post on X, formerly known as Twitter, and he said this, and I cannot read all this because we'll get taken down, so I'm going to try to paraphrase this. He went on to Twitter, and he said that it does not mean, just because he is entering his Christian era, he says it doesn't mean that he's changing his sexuality. He went further. Making Christian music does not mean I can't, and I'm going to rephrase this because I'm definitely not going to read this like he posted it on. You can go look at his Twitter account, but I'm just going to forewarn you, but let me read this. Let me paraphrase this. Making Christian music does not mean I cannot still perform oral sex on men. The rapper said this, whose real name is Montero Lamar Hill. Quote, the two are not mutually exclusive. I'm allowed to get on my knees, quote, for multiple reasons. Guys, that is absolutely disgusting and blasphemous. This should enrage you. In case you didn't catch the blasphemy in that, he actually said, I should be allowed to get on my knees for multiple reasons and not just worshiping God. This is disgusting. It's uncalled for. And every time, listen, when we share stuff like this and you see the comments on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram and on YouTube, and you see the people defending someone like this, you need to bring this up to them and say, you have no discernment. None. In the Instagram post last Wednesday, teasing his music, the artist is seen in a video clip wearing a long denim skirt. He's posting a hairdo with straight black hair past his shoulders and wearing a t-shirt that reads, quote, if God doesn't exist, then who's laughing at us? All right, guys, I'm not going to put the sound on it, but I'm going to show you the video here. This is the video. This is his actual Instagram page. Here he is sitting in a truck. Here is the skirt, the denim skirt that he's wearing with his long hair and all this stuff. Again, this is absolutely demonic. Absolutely demonic. And I'm done. I don't really want to watch any more of that. So we're going to pull this off here. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, you sound like you're angry. I am. Because this is, guys, we're not, you can't equate this with Kat Von D. You can't equate this with Daddy Yankee. You can't equate this with the other individual whose videos he removed all the prank videos. Because let's talk about them for a second. Daddy Yankee has come out and it made this announcement that he's going to start serving Christ. Okay, we got to watch the fruit of that. That's fine. Kat Von D, she would be what we could consider a new creature in Christ. She's a new babe, a babe in Christ. She's already renounced witchcraft, New Age, and all this. Time will tell. And again, I understand. Listen, we're not ignorant. I know that she's still posting videos and images and stuff she wears that are very dark imagery. But we're still observing. We're praying that she bears fruits worthy of repentance. But she's already got baptized. She's already renounced witchcraft. So we'll see how that plays out. Then you got the other individual who went through and he deleted all of his old videos. This guy, on the other hand, Lil Nas X, has no desire whatsoever to change any of his lifestyle. Instead, he wants to use Jesus to gain money and more followers. And it's sad because he makes this comment, Father, stretch my hands. The lonely road seems to last the longest. Help me with my plans. Everything seems to go nowhere. Free me from worry and wanting pity. Free me from all this envy in me. I don't want these feelings. I call on angels. I'm trying hard to face my pain. Give me hope when I feel less. Angels, I'm trying hard to keep my faith. And it's really sad because I want to, you know, on one hand, is he really crying out for help? And if he is, we got to pray for him. So we should be praying for this guy. We should pray that he really gets delivered and set free from, there's a demonic spirit on this guy, a demonic spirit of perversion that he needs to be completely set free of. Even actor and singer Tyrese Gibson posted a comment on Instagram that has gotten over 58,000 likes, warning Lil Nas X of the dangers of mocking God. At least other people have sense out there and see this. Let me read what he wrote here. Quote, we'll pull this up on the screen so you can read this. Y'all going to learn to stop playing with God. God is not to be played with. From shoes with devil signs and devil's blood in the shoe sole, wrote Gibson, a devout, outspoken Christian. We can all change. I get it. But I feel a way about people making a mockery about Jesus. Do you live your life? Do what makes you happy. But y'all better stop playing with Jesus out here. Again, that's from Tyrese. And Nas X responded to Gibson saying that his response to him wanting to make Christian music is crazy. Quote, this really crazy because all I did was post a song about asking God for hope when you feel hopeless and y'all act like I posted a video of me burning a church down and peeing on a nativity scene, Nas X wrote. Really? But Tyrese wasn't the only one. Holy Gabbana, a rapper formerly known as Bonk Gang, I don't know how you pronounce it, who gave his life to Christ back in 2021, also shared his distaste with Nas X musical direction.
John Gabbana, formerly Boot Gang, made some statements about this situation. Making Christian music does not mean, this is his tweet, right? He can't give oral to other dudes anymore. If Nas want to be cool, do you, lil bro, just don't title yourself a Christian and make other believers it's okay for us to live in habitual intentional sin. People deserve the truth and stand on the word of God.
Lil Nas X, man, there's people out here who really love God, who really live their life for Jesus. And you think we just gonna sit back here and let you blaspheme the Lord like that? Bro, you ain't a Christian. You an abomination using the title of a Christian for clout. Being born again is a real life process. It's a real life sanctification process that a lot of us real believers are going through. If you're on your knees, please amend. That's between you and God, bro. That ain't none of my business. But you on your big platform trying to stamp Christianity with your blasphemous tongue, dog, you need to repent. And once you repent, the only thing you need to be doing on your knees is rejoicing, thanking God that he saved you from the hands of Satan. Bro, you a better off talk about religious error or spiritual phase, because Christianity ain't something that you just dibbling dabbling. It's a lifelong commitment that some of us is actually living for real. It's real Christians out here who's suffering and still giving their y'all to the Lord. Y'all need to put more respect on Christianity and what the faith is, bro. Because it's not a game. Right.
Guys, I got to say that again, because this is what's going to bring it home today. Let me read that again. Just don't title yourself a Christian and make others believe it's okay for us as Christians to live in habitual, intentional sin. Ding, 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 ding. There is the winning statement. Why is that the winning statement? Here is why this is the winning statement that we want to put our stake on. In 1 John 2:28, we're going to start at verse 28. Listen to this and listen to this very clearly. Let me read this. I'm going to read all this word here, and then we're going to bring this home today. And now, little children, now he's talking to us. He's talking to the church. Abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of God or born of him. Let me say that again. Everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Now, let me read on. We're going to go to 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Again, these are not outsiders. These are the people on the inside. This is us on the inside who are born again, professed Christians. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been known And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is. Is pure. Here's what I'm trying to. There is 6 points here that John made in his epistles here in 1 John 2 and 1 John 3. And again, this is for every professed Christian and believer. Number one, John emphasizes the importance to strive to live a life of confidence before the Lord, so that when the Lord does appear, whatever that looks like to you in your theology, whether you believe in the rapture or you don't, so it'd either be the rapture or the second advent or the second coming, regardless, when the Lord returns, that's one thing we can all agree on, okay? He's coming back. John says that we are to strive to have confidence in him and not be ashamed when the Lord returns. Stop. If I am a professed Christian and I'm out here declaring myself to be a believer and I'm openly living a lifestyle and practicing a lifestyle that the Bible tells me will lead me to hell and not to heaven. Guys, I'm living in deception. I have deceived myself, and here's the terrifying part, that, and this is the whole consensus of everything I put this this podcast on. Here's the danger of this. When you get people like Lil Nas X that has millions and millions and millions of followers, and they're professing Christ or in the name of Christ, and they're getting up here and living these lifestyles that Paul said will not inherit them the kingdom of God, or will actually lead them to hell. And they're influencing millions of people, and they're encouraging them that they can call themselves Christians, they can go to church, they can do all the religious things, but they can live any lifestyle they want to live. They can still live in fornication, they can still live in adultery, they can still lie, they can still steal, they can still commit adultery, they can still commit homosexuality, sodomy, they can commit all these things that the Bible says they will not inherit the kingdom of God if they practice these things. My friends, that is dangerous. That is extremely dangerous. Number two, John says, and notice John emphasizes righteous living and righteous lifestyle. But brother, I'm saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's not my own righteousness. Yes, those things are all true. But you didn't do anything to earn your salvation. But when you're born again and you're saved, when you have the seed of God in you and God lives in you, you will strive to live righteous. You will strive to live a life of sanctification. You'll strive to live a life of holiness and to be purified. It doesn't mean you won't fall. It doesn't mean you won't slip up. It doesn't mean you won't have hang-ups and you won't have weaknesses. Let me say that again. It doesn't mean that you won't slip, fall, have weaknesses, have hang-ups, and have shortcomings in the flesh. But at the end of the day, listen, you're going to weep over it. You're going to be disgusted over your sin. You're going to detest your sin. You're going to be wrestling with your sin. You're going to be going from the flesh to the spirit, to the spirits of the flesh. And at the end of the day, you're going to be saying, God, please help me. Please forgive me. Please wash me. And please help me to live a life that is glorifying you. I don't want to do this anymore. Take this from you. Take this from me. Help me. Deliver me and set me free. But if you have no remorse, no pity, no desire to live before God, and you have no desire to change your lifestyle, then again, I doubt that you were ever even born again, according to the word of God. So again, test the spirits, whether they're of God. So again, number one, strive to live a life that is confident, to be living in confidence, so that when we stand before the Lord, when he returns, we'll not be ashamed. Number two, we as believers, as born again, we should be living a lifestyle of sanctification, righteousness, holiness, and purity. Number three, John gives us the revelation that we are children of God when we're born again. Not everybody in the world is children of God. That is the most deceptive statement ever made. When you get these politicians get up, you get celebrities get up, and they'll say, we're all children of God. No, the Bible says the only ones that are children of God are those who are born again. They are walking in the spirit with Christ. He said, these are the sons of God. And here Paul tells us the children of God. And notice it's in the context of those who are living in confidence and righteous living and practicing a lifestyle that honors him. Number four, the world does not know us because we are the children of God, because it never knew God. This is a no-brainer, guys. Listen, when you become born again, listen, you want to know one of the great indicators whether or not you're really born again and that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you and you're serving God and you're pleasing God. Ready? Here's a big revelation for you. If you can get born again and start serving God and go back to your workplace and never stir anybody up, never ruffle any feathers, never offend anybody, because a real true born again believer is not going to be silent about their conversion. Read it in the New Testament. The Bible, there was times when they came before, in the book of Acts, they say, we know these men have had to have an encounter with Jesus because their speech besets them. Their actions beset them. We knew the old Peter, the old James, the old John, the old Bartholomew. We knew all these guys. We knew who they were. And look what they are now. They've had to have been with Jesus. And listen, it is impossible for you to be with Jesus and have a real encounter with Jesus and you go back to your lifestyle, go back to your workplace, and everybody there not see a true converted, come on, person who's really been born again. So listen, the world is offended by your presence, by your speech, and by your new lifestyle. Why is it offended? Because they don't know God. They don't know the Father. And because now you're a child of God and they're not, light and darkness, come on, they conflict with one another. Number five. John tells us, even though we don't have a full revelation and understanding of what our resurrected bodies will look like, he says that when Christ does appear, we shall be likened unto him. We're going to have a resurrected body. We're going to be able to walk through walls. We're going to be able to eat. We're going to be able to talk. We're going to be able to conversate. But we'll come on, there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. Come on, hallelujah. This is what he said here. Number six, everyone, look what he says here. Everyone that has this hope. What hope? The hope of standing before the Lord. The hope of being there at the judgment seat of Christ, not being found ashamed, walking in confidence, walking upright for him, serving him all the days of your life. He says, everyone that has this hope, the hope of the resurrection of Christ, he says, purifies themselves, purifies themselves. It is our responsibility, friend. Stop putting, I appreciate the cross. I appreciate the blood. I appreciate salvation. I appreciate grace. I appreciate justification, redemption, all that. I acknowledge that Jesus became the propitiation for our sins. I understand all of this, but I'm telling you, we as the body of Christ have a personal responsibility. We are required to deny ourselves. We are required to take up our cross. We are to required to follow after him. We are required to put off the old man and the works of thereof. We are have the responsibility to put to death the mortal works and deeds of the flesh. It Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, I die daily. Guys, don't miss it. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Listen, praise God that people are getting saved. Praise God for celebrities getting saved. Praise God for musicians and people in Hollywood getting saved or quote unquote getting born again. But God, for goodness sake, don't be deceived. Don't be gullible. Be sure to test the spirits, observe the fruit, and warn, listen, all the grandparents, all the parents, warn your children. This is why we're to train them up in the way in which they should go. Get them in the word, get them in the presence of God so that they'll have discernment, and so that they can discern. There's something, you know, listen, if they're in school, if they go to a public school and somebody comes on with a Lil Nas X track, and they say, oh, you know, it's okay. You know, Lil Nas X is a Christian now. Well, listen, if your child knows the word of God and they know this guy's lifestyle, they're going to be like, they're going to say, no, I'm sorry, but it just don't fly. This individual has some rotten fruit. I know they claim they're in their Christian era, but it don't look like it. Jesus said it like this. He said, they profess to know me, but in their works, they are abominable. So I hope this makes sense to you guys. Guys, listen, this is them equipping messages. We want you to get this word out. We want you to share this. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. I appreciate you guys sharing this word, getting the word out there. Again, download our free app, guys, available on Apple, Android devices. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. You're going to have everything right there readily available to you. And as always, guys, we appreciate you taking the time. Listen, all of our partners, From the bottom of our heart, we thank you for the Christmas cards, the blessings, the letters, the emails, all of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us over all the years and your partnership. Again, it's through you and your generous support that we are able to keep doing what we're doing on a week-to-week-to-week basis. So we thank you for that. Listen, real quick announcement. Number one, first of all, I want to tell you that typically we go Monday, Tuesday, we take off Wednesday, we come Thursday, Friday. This week, we're here tonight. We'll be off tomorrow, so there'll be no broadcast tomorrow on December 12th, but then we'll be right back here Wednesday, and then Thursday with Bishop Larry Ragland. We'll be with him, and then Friday night we'll be here as well. So again, what night are we off? Tomorrow night, December 12th, and then we'll be back Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and take off the weekend. So just want to let you know that, so people won't be like, well, where's Brother Ricky when it comes, you know, tomorrow night, because we typically take off on Wednesday, but this second week of every month, we're always on with Larry Ragland, so we have to switch up our schedules. So, also, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it informs you, it equips you, it blesses you, it feeds you. Again, depending on your relationship with this ministry, some of you, this is your home church. We ask that you pray about becoming a monthly partner, support, do what the Lord would have you to do. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way. Or again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Also, or you could give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines. That's going to be P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia 30655. So again, we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for coming on today. Again, don't forget to hit that like button, share button, that bell notification, push this out onto the algorithm. So we're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here on the 13th, which is Wednesday night. Wednesday night, December 13th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.